Happy Young Family. Happy Young Family is the true life story of your friends, the Young. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message. Once when Peggy Young was a little girl, she went to a party and didn't have a good time. So she ran home, her new dress torn, and her face streaked with tears. Well, Peggy's grown up now. But inside, she's feeling like that little girl who ran home. She and Carter have just returned from the country club dance. Carter was having a wonderful time among the friends she grew up with. But Peggy suddenly said she was tired and wanted to leave. What Peggy didn't tell Carter was that the evening had been spoiled for her by a conversation she happened to overhear. That malicious gossip left her in no doubt as to what her friends really thought of her. And Peggy realizes now that Carter's world and hers are poles apart, and that she'd never really belong with his family and friends. As they enter the Trent house, Peggy turns soberly to Carter.
I really am tired, Carter. I think I'll go up to bed now, if you don't mind.
Oh, don't go yet, darling. Let's sit and talk a while. I think Mother and Father will be in soon. They've gone out someplace, I suppose, but they'll want to talk to you, too.
Oh, I couldn't talk to them tonight, Carter. I really couldn't. I'm sorry, but I'm just too tired. I'm too tired to talk to anyone tonight.
Here's your room, Peg.
Yes, now I know where I am.
Good night, darling.
May I help you, Miss Young?
Oh, I didn't see you.
Well, I've waited up for you.
But what for?
To help you off with your things, miss. To do anything I could to make you comfortable.
Oh, but I don't need anybody. You'd better go to bed now. It's late.
Oh, let me help you slip your dress over your head, and I'll hang it up for you.
Oh, no, thank you. Really, I don't need any help. I wouldn't know what to do if somebody waited on me like this all the time. I'd feel terrible about keeping him up and everything. Do you mean to say you've been sitting here all evening just waiting for me to come home?
Oh, yes, miss.
Well, you needn't wait any longer. Thank you just the same. I hope you have a good night's sleep.
Well, thank you, miss. If you need anything, just ring for me. That's the bell over there. Good night.
Good night. Give me Michigan 9761. Hello? Is this the Somerset Hotel? I want to speak to Mr. Bradley, Mr. Curtis Bradley. Yes, I'll hold the wire. Oh, hello, Mr. Bradley. Yes, this is Peggy. Oh, I'm so sorry to wake you up. Perhaps I should have waited till morning, only I couldn't wait, Mr. Bradley. I mean, I had to talk to you. Yes, something's the matter. I don't want to stay here, Mr. Bradley. I mean, I want to leave this house. Yes, now, tonight. No, Carter didn't. No, he's been sweet. But, Mr. Bradley, I really don't want to stay here another minute. I can't. I can't explain it to you all. I'll get a taxi and come to your hotel. Yes, I'm sure I know what I'm doing. Just wait for me there, Mr. Bradley, please. Oh, Carter, please don't be angry with me for what I'm doing. I know it's right. I know it is.
We'll be back with the Youngs in a moment after this message. It's well past midnight in Chicago, far too late for Peggy Young to be alone in a taxi cab in a strange city. Unknown to the Trents, she slipped out of the house and taxied straight to the Somerset Hotel, where Mr. Bradley is waiting for her. As Peggy looks timidly around the almost deserted lobby, she is immensely relieved to see her father's old friend looking sleepy-eyed and perplexed, but oh, so solid and reassuring. Peggy runs to him and catches his arm in quick relief.
Oh, Mr. Bradley, I'm so glad to see you.
Peggy, what on earth's the matter? What is it? I couldn't get a very clear picture of what had happened over the telephone.
I know it. I didn't tell you very well. I couldn't. Oh, Mr. Bradley, I'm so glad you're here in Chicago. I was never so glad of anything in my life. If you only knew what it meant to get away from there for a little while, to have somebody, a friend, somebody from home here.
My goodness, you are upset, Peg. There's a little sitting room right here off the lobby. Here we are. Now then, Peggy, you sit down, relax, and tell me what this is all about, anyhow. I want to know what caused all this. Great Scott, it's the middle of the night. And I suppose the Trents don't know you've left, do they?
Oh, no, but I did give the maid a note to tell Carter.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on, Peggy. You decided to come. I've met Mrs. Trent. She seems to me to be a very nice person.
She is. She was very nice. I haven't any complaints about Mr. and Mrs. Trent or the way they treated me. They couldn't have been nicer. And I dressed and I went down to dinner and...
Well, that sounds fine. And it is a beautiful house.
Yes. It's awfully big, though, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. You knew that before you came.
I had no idea how big it was. Oh, Mr. Bradley, I just never saw people who sort of ignored me and talked around me.
What do you mean?
I don't mean that they did it on purpose. I don't mean that they were rude to me, exactly. But they were all so different.
Huh?
They spoke a different language.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I don't know. Just a lot of sophisticated lingo that I never heard before. Everything was extra pathetic and extra this and extra that. And they said Carter was chip-heavy because he was rich. I mean, I guess that crowd talks that way and they act that way amongst themselves. But I just never heard of it.
Well, Peggy, you'll get used to that, too. That's nothing.
I suppose. Only I could see how much they hated me for horning in.
Oh, now.
One of the girls has her eye on Carter, and
didn't have his eye on her, did he, Peggy? He's in love with you.
Yes, I know he is. Completely.
Well?
But those are his friends, don't you understand, Mr. Bradley? I'm not sure that in time he wouldn't go back to them. He wouldn't get tired of me and living in a place like Elmwood.
Why don't you let Carter decide that, Peggy? Why must you take these matters into your own hands?
But it isn't only that, Mr. Bradley. It's what happened at the dance.
Well, what did happen, Peggy?
If you'd seen those girls, they were so frightfully glamorous, and their clothes were so beautiful, and they were so sure of themselves.
Oh, that's nothing. You'd be sure of yourself, too, Peg, in your own hometown, in your own crowd. Why, you wouldn't have a moment's doubt about yourself back in Elmwood.
But Carter's friends are different, Mr. Bradley. Honestly, they are.
No?
I'm not just saying that. They are different. They've grown up differently, and they've gone to swanky boarding schools. And they're used to meeting lots and lots of people. And they're from the city and all the rest of it.
Oh, now.
I just feel so terribly small town and stupid and tongue-tied and awkward.
Well, Peg, I can see that, of course, but I can't see why that should drive you out of the Trent's house tonight.
Well, it's what happened at the dance.
All right, dear. What happened at the dance?
Well, Carter went to get my coat or something, and I was standing there, and all of a sudden I heard a girl talking to another girl, and she was saying, "My dear, what has she got? What can she possibly have that he wants?"
Oh, eavesdropping, eh?
No, I wasn't really. I only sort of half listened.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, I didn't think they were talking about me at first.
Well, I'll bet they weren't.
Oh, yes, they were. Because the one said, "And did you see her dress? That dress is absolutely a scream, a black dinner dress. It's impossible. I mean, she couldn't possibly wear a dress like that."
And you had on a black dinner dress?
Yes, of course I did.
Uh-huh.
The only one I have. One that Mama and Linda made over. It's all right, but it's not like their dresses, Mr. Bradley.
Well, they didn't like your dress. So what?
Oh, they just thought I was terrible, and one of them said she isn't even pretty, do you think?
Well, that just shows the absurdity of the whole thing, Peg. Because you're the prettiest girl I know.
Oh, Mr. Bradley, I know how I look tonight. I know how awful I look.
Oh.
And the other girl said she thought I had sort of a sweet face, but she was perfectly sure that Mrs. Trent must be absolutely perishing at the thought of Carter's marrying.
Now, look here, Peg. I won't stand for any more such nonsense. You've been thinking for Carter straight along and telling me what he does or will believe. Now, I know Carter. I know the kind of boy he is. He's a serious, fine fella. And a lot of silly girls chatter because they're jealous that the big catch of Chicago got away from him. shouldn't bother you one bit.
It does bother me, though, Mr. Bradley. It's opened my eyes. I think if I hadn't come here and seen the way the Trents live, I'd never have known that I don't fit into that picture. But I do know it now. And much as I love Carter, I mustn't marry him. I know it. All the things we said about being meant for each other, way down deep, they're right. But there are too many obstacles.
Peggy, I think you ought to get right into a cab and go back to the Trents. Now, you stay there tonight, wake up in the morning, and talk this all over with Carter.
Oh, Mr. Bradley, I can't.
Oh.
Oh, please let me stay here at the hotel. I'll take a room. And in the morning, I want to go home.
Apparently, Mrs. Trent's plan to show Peggy that she has no place in Carter's life has worked, even more quickly than she anticipated. And now a message from our sponsor. Tomorrow, the Youngs face the possibility of Sam Youngs taking a job in another town. Be sure to join us on Pepper Young's Family. John Scott speaking.